Blog Talk Radio.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Hey, this is Leonard Johnson from the Hammer, Triple Wayne Hammer Report. Welcome all of you in tonight. And we're hoping we're getting off to a good start tonight. I can't tell if anybody can hear me out there, but we are going to roll anyway. And I'll see if we can get going here. I want to wish everybody a happy holidays and happy new year and all that good stuff. And I'm excited about getting going here and see if we can get something rolling. On the line right now, we have Todd Ross from calling from the Single Wing Conclave, and he's going to be on real quick. And I'll come back later on to give you some other announcements and everything. So let's see if we can pull in Todd right now. Todd, are you there?
I'm here, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, oh man, we got this working, man. That's all right. Happy holidays to you, man.
And to you, Coach.
Yeah, how's the family and everything?
Family is doing very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Man, I'm just trying to keep a job over here, man. Just trying to have some fun and keep a job. You know, I'm really
mm-hmm.
excited about getting going again. You know, getting it going again with the radio show. You know, we kind of love this phase of it, where we learn a lot and get everybody to kind of tell us what they're doing, you know, like a little national mini conclave. And that's why I brought you on, Todd, to talk about the conclave, because a lot of people don't know about it, you know, and we just want to give you as much airtime as you want to explain to people what the conclave is, because you're the mastermind behind this. You're the master. So in order to get things done, we just want to bring the math out. So you want to go and tell us about the conclave and everything?
All right. Well, for those of you that don't know, what Coach is referring to is I'm the founder, organizer of what is referred to as the Single Wing Conclave. We're now, this will be our 16th year. It is held annually at King's College in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Typically around to be around the beginning of March. This year's will be Friday, March 10th, and Saturday, March 11th. And it's grown from the first year, where we had 11 attendees, to the point that we noticed how many we had, and we took a group picture lined up at unbalanced single wing right. I think this previous year, we had just over 150 coaches in attendance. So it has now grown to what I like to refer to as the largest gathering of single wing and direct snap coach, the annual gathering of single wing and direct snap coaches you can find anywhere. And for basically the better part of 3 days, people eat, sleep, drink, and drink some more about single wing football.
I remember the first time I went there, I was just amazed at the how everybody tried to help each other. You know, we didn't keep any secrets. You know, whatever question you ask, you know, people are asking everything. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it's, we actually refer to the attendees as brothers and to the collective as a brotherhood. And it really is like that, in that for coaches who are used to attending these like larger clinics where there are perhaps thousands of attendees and very, you know, big, you know, well-known named famous coaches, or even smaller clinics to that point where they're going to be presenting on a topic, but perhaps you just might get the like cliff notes of it, and, you know, perhaps the person speaking is, you know, playing the cards a little close to the vest. You do not have to worry about that at the conclave. The coaches in attendance are sharing and giving to a fault. I always tell the attendees that if you leave here with a question unanswered, it is your fault. Because basically if you ask it, the person who you are asking will answer it, and if they don't know it, they'll find someone who does. It's not uncommon to see coaches just being pulled aside and shown things and diagrams. And also what happens outside of Brook Auditorium, the auditorium on campus where we hold this, there's probably more information in chalk talk and sharing and brotherhood that happens outside of the auditorium than happens in it. We now, basically, over the course of 2 days, we will have six formal presentations by coaches. There are a number of social events, and basically, you know, the word conclave, you know, is a sequester, and that basically is what happens. Is that, and it's by design, that as the organizer of this, I basically do not let the attendees out of each other's sight for the better part of 3 days. And when you get football coaches together, especially out of season, especially after they've been, you know, the holidays are over and the juices are flowing again, and perhaps provide a couple 12-ounce social lubricants, what are they going to do? They're going to talk football, and that's what happens.
It's an amazing sight. And not only do you have high school there, but what also amazes me is how much is given to the youth coaches, how much youth participation you get from those coaches there. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. As when I would attend other clinics, there'd be sometimes I would notice that there might be perhaps a lean or a bias to the higher levels in attendance, the high school, and that youth coaches were kind of like, well, this is, you know, it's nice that you're here. And as a youth coach, that's my background. I have coached high school, but my background, especially at the single wing, is as a youth coach, is I always looked at it as equal ops and props. And that you have youth coaches getting up and presenting, and you have high school coaches standing up and listening. And you'll have first-time high school coaches attending that a long-time youth coach is over there holding school. And so something you a lot of times don't see at other clinics. And as a youth coach, I always like to reference that when you coach youth football as opposed to high school football, there's a saying by Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire's, that to me, coaching youth football is like she said, is that she could do everything that Fred Astaire did, only backwards and in high heels. So you have people, you know, if you have people who can run the singling offense with 6 to 8 year olds and 10 to 12 year olds, you know, there's gold to be mined there.
You know, it's just so amazing, you know, how they can get those little ones coordinated in a way where they're fun to watch. I mean,
they are.
I can't even get our older guys to understand the concept, but these little kids, man, they get it and they roll with it. You know, and my hats
mm-hmm.
off to those youth coaches because, man, they get it going and they get it going and everything. Have you gotten all your speakers and everything yet? Have you are you ready to announce any of them, or you want to wait for the last minute?
I've talked to a couple people. A couple people have stepped up. I don't have anything formal yet. I've always tried to. Basically, the conclave was started on the notion that there ain't no one of us as smart as all of us. And what we try to do is that we teach ourselves. There's a long history, especially if this offense is archaic as it is, and the fact that for a time it was basically on life support as far as, like, being run anywhere, and that those who knew paid it forward because someone paid it forward to them. And at one point, the coach who now knows the single wing knew nothing, and someone shared with them. And invariably, that person was shared with someone else. And there's a family tree of single-wing coaches that, depending on what flavor or style of single-wing you coach, the odds are that if you go back to where who talked to you and who talked to that person, and who talked to that person, eventually you're going to start seeing some very famous names pop up on your version of the single-wing family tree. And so in this mindset of, you know, teaching ourselves, paying it forward, every year as opposed to my soliciting or going out or looking for, I ask for people, you know, who wants to share? Who has something they feel is worthy of sharing? And invariably every year people step up. We have some people who are almost become annual attendees or annual presenters, the people who have presented once, the gentleman I'm speaking with right now, he actually keynoted a conclave at one time, did a fantastic job. And as soon as I know more, I will share more. There is a Facebook group for the Single Wing Conclave. If you keyword search it, you should have no problem finding us. I have a Twitter account at SNG Wing Conclave. I'll post information there. And so there are ways through social media that you can learn about, you know, and find information about the conclave.
And I know you, with all the expenses and getting the venue and all this stuff, Frank, I know it's about $100 per person to attend this thing. Am I correct?
Well, let's put it this way. It starts right now as far as the actual registration right now for the actual conclave is at about 20, depending if you're a part of a, if you're an individual, it's $25 at the moment. If you're part of a staff of five or more, it's only $20 a head. Which is, if you can look at some of the things that you would pay for, like, other clinics, is very, very reasonable. Now, as we get closer to the date, the price will go up as far as registration. Mm-hmm. And this is just my little way of, It's basically my way of encouraging people to, like, you register early so I can have numbers to work with. But probably by the time you figure in, like, you know, you get a discounted stay at a hotel, your meals and everything, it'd be very comparable to what you pay at another clinic. But the actual registration fee for the clinic itself probably would not exceed more than $50 a person, and that would be like actually you showing up at the door unannounced. So I've always tried to keep it extremely reasonable and basic, you know, and just not get to the point of, like, it being a financial burden for coaches, especially for, like you mentioned, youth coaches. There are a number of coaches who attend who aren't going to have the means to get reimbursed, like a professional development or like that perhaps other coaches may. So
Well, I can tell you from personal experience from the first time I went there, when I came back from that first year, I must have had about 50 videos. And I still have those videos. And I just devoured those things. I mean, those guys were so gracious and sharing. And guys, for the price, you know, you will not get any teaching. I mean, it is, you way overvalue. I mean, you get more value than anything out there, Ty.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that, Coach. You bring up a good point that, you know, again, these coaches will bring cut-up tapes. They'll bring cut-ups of perhaps something that was given to them. There'll be the presentations themselves. And this DVDs are burned. The past couple of years, what we've done is we've created a Vimeo account where for a flat rate, you get access, and there's tons and tons of video that you have access to. But, Coach, you know, the odds are you will probably going home with a fistful of DVDs, and usually all we do is we just ask, like, you know, in the spirit of trying to keep it as, like, you know, a small, you know, clinic as opposed to, like, a much larger one, almost like informal, it's like, you know, throw some money in the hat and we're good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's going to be, and I think you said last year was a record. Did I hear you right?
That is correct. I think the previous record was 150, and I want to say I think we had 152 or something like that. So we just barely set a new attendance record. Correct.
Yeah, I know, and it was off the chart last year because it was very good. You know, I like to sit up there. You know, I sit up there in the back, and I just learned so much. And I said, man, you got to dumb up. I mean, there's so much out there that you can learn. And anything out there that can help your kids and help you with your program, you will learn it from here. And even if you don't run a wing or any kind of wing, you come there and you learn the concepts of what's going on right there. And I can guarantee you, that you're going to be, you know, very, very much enhanced, you know, and especially with the guys. I mean, we got some of the best. I like to talk about my friend because I don't know if we're going to travel together this year, but Dr. Ward, I mean, when I first heard the Sermon on the Mount, you explain that to me.
What happened was he's referring to Dr. John Ward, who is currently now, he's a head coach at a middle school in North Carolina, but he has got an extensive, you know, college and high school coaching background. He will have forgotten more football than the vast majority of us will ever possibly hope to learn. I've seen this gentleman speak for 4 hours just on blocking. And I want to say it was the second or third conclave he offered to present, and I noticed that we really had difficulty getting to keep him within like a typical 90-minute presentation. And so finally, the 1 year, I just gave up and I said, would you just like to have the whole morning, Coach? And he had no problem with that. So every Saturday morning, what referred to as we're having services at the Church of 56, which is basically his off-tackle play. And Coach Ward will get up there and for basically 4 hours, we'll talk on a topic. And he'll still be going strong by the time we break for lunch.
As a matter of fact, he doesn't even want to stop. He just keeps rolling. He just keeps rolling. Yeah. Well, Todd, we're going to have you back on again, you know, as we get closer and everything to it. And because I want to keep people informed, because I want you to break another record. Because
I would love to do that.
Yeah, because the more people I think we get involved with what we do and get involved, and not necessarily the X's and O's, but the camaraderie and the coming together as brotherhood and everything. I mean, it's nothing like it to have friends across the country that you can call and ask a question, and you know that you'll get an answer, and you get more than what you asked for, you know, without even thinking about it. And this is what I love about about the wing coaches. They share and share and share and everything. So do you have anything, any last thing you want to remind us about?
Well, just again, it was the dates. It's Friday, March 10th, Saturday, March 11th, King's College, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And if you want to get more information about this, please look on Facebook. There is a Single Wing Conclave group on Facebook. And you could also contact me at Twitter. I am at SNG Wing Conclave. And at that point, all are welcome. We've never turned anybody away. If you're curious and want to learn, you know, this is the best time to do it. I will say to at that point, I would just suggest registering early, because it will, at that point, it will save you a little money and make my life a little easier organizing it.
Okay, Todd. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Todd, and for being my first guest for the year. And I look forward to doing this again and everything. And maybe we can talk about some other things when we get back on. Okay.
That'd be awesome, Coach. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You too, Coach.
Well, that was the great Todd Ross from Maine, and the Single Wing creator. And we love going there. I mean, just to get there and just to travel with Dr. Ward, because I learned so much from Dr. Ward as we travel. Somehow we gotten to be buddies. I have two buddies in the thing that I travel with all the time. One is Dr. Ward, and the other one is Jody Higgins, a very dear friend of mine. And we always travel together, just talking about Single Wing, talking about things, and you know, growing up. Bonding together, and it's a lot of fun. Well, before our next guest get back on, let me clean up some stuff and everything, let you know where we headed. We got this started because you know, there are a lot of good guys out there who are doing a lot of great things. And what we want to do is to give them a platform to come and tell us what they're doing, and to try to help us to get better as a football coach. Because the better you are as a football coach, the better your kids are going to be. The other thing is that if you are looking at doing something like this, the Single Wing, Double Wing, or the Wing T, I can't think of a better place to learn, because what we do is we pull in the best to come in here and teach you. And again, these people, they share their knowledge, they come in here and give up what we got, they don't hold anything back. I mean, I remember the last time, a couple of years ago, we had Tim Murphy on here, and he gave us everything we had. We had Rick Darlington on the radio show. We call and we get the best, but I know there are more out there. I read the stories and everything, and we just want to get those guys on here and to just get them to help you. Now, you can help in that process by, if you know of a coach in your area that is good at what he does, shoot me a line. You know, I'll get him on the radio show, and we'll sit there and talk, and we'll talk about organization, we'll talk about X's and O's, we'll talk about his strength, you know, and we'll ask the question, and you'll have an opportunity to call in and ask some questions, or you'll be able to email and ask some questions, you know, and I'm sure that those guys will share those things with you. Recently, we look like we're going to get one of the best Wing T coaches around to join us in the on our radio show. So, and I'll let you know. We just trying to work out the dates and the time so that we can get this thing going and everything. Now, look like our next guest is on, and I don't know if you read about him, the great Raven Green from Seven Rivers Christian School in Florida. I met this guy some time ago, matter of fact, in Dallas. I didn't know who he was, and this guy was, he was coaching in Tennessee, and he was a wild guy. I mean, he was way out there, but he was a lot of fun to be around with. Now he's kind of settled down now because he got them three little girls out there, and they have kind of settled him down and mellowed him out. So let's see if we can get Ray on the line right now and see if he can talk to us. My man, are you there?
How you doing, Coach Johnson?
Man, I am doing fine, man. I am doing fine. If I was doing any better, I'd start screaming. I see that you made it home okay from the grocery store.
Yes, I did. My wife gave me a little list. I was out golfing this afternoon and found out I had to run to Publix and get a little groceries before I headed to the house.
Well, that's all right, man. But you got to do them honeydews, man, because if mom
ain't
happy,
absolutely.
It's going to be good for the human, man. Yeah. Well, how are you doing? I am seeing you. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I was driving this morning, I was thinking about you. I actually hadn't seen you in about 6, 7, 8 years.
It's been a little bit. I think the last time I saw you was around 2008 out in the Double Wing Symposium. I was speaking at the clinic out there, and we had a little time to hang out and exchange some ideas. So, yeah, it's been a little while, and look forward to seeing you hopefully here in the next couple of weeks up in Pittsburgh at the National Wing T Clinic.
Yeah, well, look like we're going to be able to make that happen and everything.
Good.
Now, to kind of get everything going there, let me give you a chance to tell people who Ray, I didn't even know your name was Ray, but Ray.
Rayburn,
yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let's let people know who Raven Green is.
Well, I was born and raised in North Alabama. I was born to a 15-year-old mother. In poverty in North Alabama. We lived actually lived in government housing in the project till I was about 10. And with my mother being a single mom, she married a man that was 34 years old when she was 19 in the projects that helped raise me and my little brother. So didn't have the most ideal upbringing, but very thankful for a strong mother, a godly mother that helped raise us and, you know, give us everything that we needed. I was fortunate enough to follow a young lady that I had met in Mexico on a missions trip when I was 18, followed her to college. Because most folks where I came from, I never went to school. And followed her to college. She was on a soccer scholarship. She was a young lady from Connecticut. And we dated for all 4 years of college, got married the summer we graduated. And the whole time we were in school, I was helping out with a local high school team. That was a Wing T high school. It was kind of where I was introduced to misdirection, you know, Wing T, deception-type football. Cut my teeth there and kind of learned the ropes. And from there, I was able to get a job at a high school in Nashville and had the privilege of starting the football program in 2004 from the ground up. And from there, I've kind of was able to start as a head coach in a startup program and been a head coach now for about 11 or 12 years and always ran some sort of a wing, you know, misdirection type of offense. So, in short, that's kind of it, man. I've got a beautiful family. I've got three daughters, and God's really been good to us. But now we live in Central Florida, and I'm the head football coach at a 2A Christian school. It's been a long journey. I went from 1A to 6A, and then back to 2A. But been really blessed to be in a Christian school where my daughters are able to attend, and just a kind of a really unique situation that I'm in.
That's good, man. And each one of those stops, I think this is your third, second, third
school?
I know you started.
Well, I started. Yeah, Coach, I started the program at Lancaster in Tennessee back in 2004. We were fortunate enough to win a state championship in our second year. I moved to Florida, did another startup program, and then I moved on to a 6A public school. We kind of rebuilt that program, made it a playoff contender, and then went back to the same private school that I started in 2009. I came back in 2014 and kind of rebuilt that program. So I guess if you count just Seven Rivers once, this will be our third stop.
How do you do it? How do you build this program?
Well, Coach, you know, you know how coaching is, man. You just beg, steal, and borrow, and it's nothing that we've done on our own. We just kind of taken ideas and, you know, tried not to reinvent the wheel, but take what has worked for other people. I know I remember your talk back when you were at Scott's Branch and back then in Dallas, and just tried to be real, kind of take a simple approach on offense. And where I think most double wing coaches live is to try to simplify what we do and focus on the execution, focus on doing a few things very well and having an identity with what we do, and that allows you to kind of focus on the fundamentals and focus on perfecting some things. You know, I really don't know. You know, God's been good to us, but I think he's given us the sense to take what has been successful for some other people and just reapply it instead of trying to be too innovative and which I think it's a struggle for offensive coaches like myself to try to do too much, where you just want to kind of settle in and do a few things very well versus doing a whole lot of things mediocre.
Did you do you get a lot of – how do you get your kids to buy in the beginning? Because I think a lot of coaches who run this type of offense, they have a hard time, you know, and I'm knocking on wood right now. They have a hard time getting these kids to understand, dude, this is how this is good, okay? How do you get your kids to buy in?
Well, for us, I mean – all the programs that we've taken over have either been startup programs or programs that were just in shambles. So once the kids got a little taste of something that was successful, they would buy in because they realized, man, you know, like when we took over Citrus High School, which was a 6A program here in Florida, they had been either 1-9 or 2-8 for 4 or 5 years in a row. And it was tough because the coach that came in before us had kind of built a culture of just, you know, all you needed to do was be mean, be tough, be nasty. And we kind of had to convince the kids that that really isn't – that's part of it, but you have to be skilled in what you do. You can't just be mad. You can't just be dirty. You have to kind of know what's going on. And once the kids got a little taste of success, they kind of bought in rather quickly. But I think that kids have to buy into you before they buy into what you're selling. And I've always tried a real hands-on approach. I've been young enough where I've been able to do the training with them, the running, you know, the flipping the tires, the pulling the fire hoses, running in the sand, try to get down there and get my hands dirty with them. But I think that early success, whether it be a spring game or even a fall classic, the kids getting a little taste of success, it helps them buy in. But I think with anything in life, the kid, you know, people have to buy into the person before they buy into what you're selling. And I think, you know, kids kind of see right through the BS. You know, if you're sincere with them, and they know that you care about them, they know that you love them, you know, they're going to get behind you. And we've been fortunate enough to kind of you know, be in situations where the kids feel that. And, everywhere we've been, we've won, and I think it comes down to a genuine love and care for the boys that you're coaching more than anything.
Now, your staff, I know you got this this great staff, and about 10 coaches, and you pay them very well. You know, you kind of get them a house allowance too, right?
I'm sorry, Coach, I couldn't hear you.
No, I said your coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I know you paid them well,
mm-hmm.
and you get them a house, you know, and house allowance, and
mm-hmm.
you might even have a car deal for them too. Am I correct?
Well, Coach, I've got 6 assistants. There's 7 of us, and I don't even fool around with coaches unless I feel like they're going to come in and love the kids. I mean, to me, that's what's missing. And if you can't come in and love people and really love these young men and see the need that that exists with what society has presented and society has created, I have no interest. You know, I don't really care what you know and what you can do on a board, what your X's and O's knowledge is. If you can't love kids and, have a burden and a passion for young men to see them, when I first got into coaching, I always had this mindset that this was someone's baby, and I would always tell our assistants that don't ever forget that this is someone's baby. But, you know, one day I kind of had an epiphany that, more importantly, this is someone's husband and this is someone's father. And to me, that is a far more profound idea than this is somebody's baby, that this is someone's dad, this is someone's husband, and we have a responsibility as coaches to cultivate and create and help mold these young men into men, to be leaders, to be daddies and husbands. And that's something we try to emphasize in our program and try to look at these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys as 26 and 27-year-olds. And I think the weight of that, once you kind of come to that understanding, it really kind of shapes and molds how you coach. And to me, that kind of brings it all full circle for you as a staff.
Do you get how much support do you get from your administration?
Well, the school I'm at now, like I said, I went from a successful 6A program that had not been successful in 30 years. Back to a 2A, and part of the allure that brought us back to Seven Rivers was an administration that wanted to win a state championship. Our school and church had raised $3 million. We took 40 acres and built a stadium and a field house, locker rooms, state of the art weight room. The schedule that I have is ideal for a head coach that is trying to build a football program. They didn't weigh me down with a lot of duties and classes and things like that. So I feel like I have all the, you know, the support that one would need to build a championship caliber small school program. So it's been outstanding, and I think that that's really critical. I think that coaches that are looking for jobs and wanting to get in places, that's the number one thing you have to assess and investigate is what kind of support are you going to have from your administration. And the school that I'm at here at Seven Rivers here in Central Florida has been second to none with not only the talk, but the way that the school has put money behind the vision. So it's been outstanding for us. I couldn't be more pleased with it.
Do you?
Hello? 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 What are you girls doing? Sorry, you're all huddled around the phone. Hello? 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 He's coming to Pittsburgh. And he's gonna stay with us because I have an extra bed, right here. His name's Leonard. I met him in Dallas.
The radio show guy.
Yeah, real funny old black guy, Leonard Johnson, from South Carolina. No, it's just dead air. Steve was like, I can still hear you, but I can't hear. Okay. Telling me to call back. Hello? 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 Can you hear me, Coach? Hello? 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 Can you hear me, Coach? Hello? Hello?